morning to everybody out there on this fine Sunday morning. Thank you for tuning in and joining us here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team ESPN in Albany, and that free, yes, the free 104.5 The Team app, as we got a great show lined up for you today. We'll do things the way we always do, starting off with some MLB baseball, maybe a little Little League World Series. As a just full disclosure, I've got the third place game on the TV right now in the studio because I can only focus on so many things at once. So, of course, we've got that on. You know, if anything exciting happens, we'll do a little bit of live play-by-play. It's currently tied up 3-3 between Texas and Venezuela for this third place game. Venezuela's got the bases loaded right now, though, two outs. So there's an opportunity here for some exciting action. Full count, two outs, bases loaded. Everybody's going to be on the move. Before we continue into the outline of the show here, I think we got to tune in to this next pitch because this is going to be a big one. Bottom of the third inning, Venezuela with a chance to do some damage, and he gets walked as Venezuela will walk in a run and take a 4-3 lead over Texas. All right, back to the scheduled program. As I mentioned, we will dive into the MLB Round the Diamond recap like we always start the show. Talk a little bit of NFL football as the preseason is finally coming to a close and we can start watching real games. Not that preseason football isn't still football. It is, but we want to see the starters out there. We want to see the best players playing. We don't want to see Trey Lance throwing 5 interceptions for the Dallas Cowboys, all right? We want to see Dak Prescott throwing maybe 2 or 3 interceptions.
Yeah! Here we go!
Again, full disclosure, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan, so I'm allowed to say that. Even if I wasn't, everybody's still going to say it anyway. We will go into your hottest headlines of the week, as we always do, around 11:30. Maybe dive into some WNBA action as they are, you know, back this past week after taking a bit of a, you know, about a month or so off for the Olympic break. We'll check in on the scores from last night in that, and we'll have a good time this morning. You know, it feels like it's been a long week since I've been able to come on here and talk to you guys. Maybe we'll open up the phone lines even. 518-476-1045. We'll talk about some of your hot takes and see what you guys have to say. All right, I said we were going to dive into the MLB as Texas gets out of a jam, gets a strikeout with bases loaded, two outs, only gives up one run that in that bases loaded jam. So the Little League World Series, always one of my favorite events of the year. You know, you just can't describe the, you know, excitement and all of the, you know, the atmosphere. It's on my bucket list to one day finally be able to go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, slide down the hill on a cardboard box, watch a game, maybe even for a Little League Classic, which the New York Yankees were in this year facing the Detroit Tigers. And it was not a good one. Not a good one for the Yankees, as we'll look at how they did over this past week. All right, you know, not necessarily the Yankees, you know, success that you would expect from a team that is having, you know, the year that they have been. I mean, all season long, they've been one of the better teams in the MLB, but this last week or so, they've lost some games they simply shouldn't have lost. You know, you look back at last week when they lost to the Chicago White Sox by 10 runs. Probably, I'm going to guarantee you that's the most runs that the White Sox have scored all season. Then you go into a series against the Detroit Tigers, who aren't fighting for a playoff spot or anything. They're not doing too much. They do have a Cy Young candidate in Tarik Skubal, who's going to give you some, you know, some work. But this Detroit Tigers team should not have won a series against the New York Yankees. And that's exactly what happened. Especially losing on a walk-off in Williamsport against the Detroit Tigers. Just brutal stuff. Then you follow it up 2 days later, opening game against the Cleveland Guardians, and you lose that one 9-5 in 12 innings. Now, this game was 3-3 going into the 12th inning, and then you give up 6 runs in the top half of the 12th. They score 2 in the bottom half off an Aaron Judge double, but it's not enough when you're down 9-3 in extra innings. And, you know, they had a chance, too. In the 10th inning, they didn't give up a run. All they had to do was score a runner from second base with no outs, and they couldn't get that done. But they followed it up with 2 straight victories against the Guardians. Nestor Cortes pitched pretty well in that game 2, only giving up 1 run. Cleveland Guardians also got shut out in that game three, so they got the win in the series against Cleveland. Now, moving over to Colorado, which they won game one, but last night was just brutal. Losing 9-2 to the Colorado Rockies, who are 34 games under 500. They're 30 games under 500 when playing on the road. And not to mention, it was Alzheimer's Day. You had a slew of Yankee legends and historical players in the building to watch your team get smoked by the Colorado Rockies. Give it up for the New York Yankees. Give them a quick round of applause. And in all seriousness, this Yankees team is still good. They're still going to make the playoffs. They still have a chance to win a World Series. This is just being very nitpicky about, you know, the games that they should win and they don't. Because if you get this kind of performance in the playoffs against an actual great baseball team, if they perform like this against the Houston Astros or the Baltimore Orioles or the Dodgers or the Phillies, they're not gonna make it very far in this, you know, this year's playoffs. But then you look at the games that they do play against these great teams, the Guardians, the Texas Rangers, who albeit aren't having a great season, but still the defending World Series champions. They just swept Philly at the end of July. So you can see that they have the potential to play against these other great teams in the league and play them well. Then they go out and put up a stinker against a team like the Rockies or the Tigers or the White Sox, and you start to think to yourself, is this the version of this team that we're going to get come postseason time? Hopefully not, but I will say one thing. This Will Warren kid, he needs some work. And, you know, he's young. He's only made a handful of starts in the MLB. There's going to be growing pains. But, man, they need Luis Gil to get healthy ASAP, because Will Warren is just having an atrocious beginning to his MLB career. A 9.68 ERA in four starts. 9.68. And he didn't have a bad first game. His MLB debut was against the Philadelphia Phillies, who are arguably the best team in the National League. He only gives up four runs, one bad pitch. Three of those runs came on one bad pitch. That all could have been avoided. And then he just has not been able to come close to that success ever since. You know, giving up eight runs in 4 1/3 to the Angels. Had a decent outing against the Chicago White Sox. But again, that's the Chicago White Sox. He only gave up two runs in that one. Yankees get the win. Then you end up facing the Colorado Rockies, who again are not a very good baseball team, and you give up six runs in three innings. So Will Warren, you know, albeit he is young, he's got some growing to do for sure. But Yankees still with an opportunity to win this series against the Rockies. It's Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight facing Austin Gomber of the Colorado Rockies. That will begin right at 1:35. You'll have pregame and game coverage right here on the station starting at 12:55. So be sure to tune in for that. And hopefully the Yankees come away with a win here and can go into this series against the Nationals with, you know, a little bit more momentum than they would have if they somehow find a way to lose a series to the Rockies. And this is a big couple series. While the Yankees are facing the Rockies and the Nationals and then the St. Louis Cardinals, the Baltimore Orioles are currently facing the Houston Astros, who they did beat last night. So not good for the AL East battle if you're a Yankee fan. And this is one of the only times in history that you'll ever see Yankee fans rooting for the Houston Astros. But you need Houston to, you know, take care of business with Baltimore if the Yankees are going to make some separation, because this is their chance to do it. You're facing the Rockies and the Nationals, two of the worst teams in the National League, while the Orioles are facing the Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Dodgers, two of the better teams in the league. Now, granted, Baltimore is also a very talented team and could easily win a few games and you don't have any sort of opportunity to make some separation. But this is the best chance you're going to get to give yourself some breathing room against this talented Baltimore Orioles team. Because after the Dodger series, they go to Colorado, then take on the Chicago White Sox in what I'm sure is going to be, you know, a 4 or 5 win, 6 game stretch for the Orioles. And then things get a little dicey down the stretch, and the second to last series for both these teams is against each other. So this division, in all honesty, really might come down to that last series where the Yankees and the Orioles will face off. All right, moving on here, we'll go to the New York Mets, who were in action last night against the San Diego Padres, got the win 7-1. Francisco Lindor had himself two home runs, including a grand slam, his first of the season, as well as Harrison Bader with a solo shot. As the New York Mets, this is a big win for them because the San Diego Padres are right above them by a few games in that NL wildcard standings. They're only 2.5 games out from the Atlanta Braves. But unfortunately for the Mets, while they have been playing great baseball lately, so have the Braves, who have won 6 out of their last 7 games, won 9 out of their last 12. And if the Braves keep on winning, the Mets are going to have no chance of catching up. But this Mets team has been playing some up and down baseball. They had a big series win against Baltimore. Big series win. Well, right now they're up 2-3 against San Diego. Game 4 is going to be today at 4:10 p.m. It's going to be Jose Quintana on the mound, who has struggled just a bit. You know, he had that rough outing against Baltimore last time, the one game in that series that they lost. He will be going up against on the mound for the Padres, Martin Perez. And this is, again, big game, big series. This wild card race is getting down to the thick of it, not just in the National League, but in the American League as well for the Boston Red Sox, who were unable to get the win last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks as their ace, Zach Gallen, pitched 6 innings, only gave up 2 hits. And it was Eugenio Suarez who had a 2-run double off the monster to help Arizona get that victory in their 5th straight win. As Zach Gallen struck out 9, it was his first career appearance at Fenway Park, and he will get his 10th win of the season. It was Connor Wong who dropped a single into right field, who actually broke up the no-hitter. And at that point, you know, all the momentum was in the Diamondbacks' way. But looking ahead for the Red Sox, they've already lost this series, you know, lose the first 2 games. They can at least get themselves some momentum before taking on Toronto starting on Monday. And then they go to Detroit to end this upcoming week. So the Red Sox facing a couple of somewhat lackluster teams. I mean, I say lackluster, but this Tigers team just beat the Yankees in a series, so can't be too bad. But either way, this wild card race is getting tight as the Red Sox are currently 4.5 back from that last wild card spot as the Kansas City Royals, tied with the Minnesota Twins for that second and third wild card spot, have also been on a bit of a tear. As let's see, they have won, they just lost yesterday to the Phillies, but aside from that, they are winners of, let's see, 7 of their last 9 games. So it's kind of a similar story here for the Mets and for the Red Sox. Both teams playing all right, not going on any crazy winning streaks, but still not going on any, you know, horrible losing streaks that'll see them fall out of wild card play. But on the other hand, the teams that they're chasing won't stop winning in the Royals and the Braves. And really, all they can hope for is that they can continue to play good baseball, and at some point, the Royals or the Braves will hit a skid, or even the Twins hit a skid, and then they'll be able to capitalize and gain some ground in the wild card race. But that is your Round the Diamond recap around the MLB. We'll take a look back at the Little League World Series as Venezuela still up 4-3. Back up at the plate with a chance to do even more damage. Runner on first and one out. If anything exciting happens, we'll do a little bit of live play-by-play just to kind of make sure that you guys are in tune with what's going on. The championship is going to be at 3 o'clock today. We'll go through that later, let you know who's playing and how they got there. And we'll dive into a little bit of preseason NFL football coming up next as the Giants and the Jets were in action this past weekend. How did that game go? Well, you'll find out next, right here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, Download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of The Hot Seat live every Sunday morning.
It's The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
You know, I gotta say, I usually do pretty good at this when I start these hot seat shows. And welcome back to The Hot Seat, by the way, with your host, Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, and the free 104.5 The Team app. And speaking of that free app, I usually do a good job at every Sunday morning sending the link out to my boys and, you know, the group chats and, you know, posting it on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, wherever. Today, I forgot to send in a few group chats. So shout out to the boys that were in those group chats doing my job for me, sending the links. Shout out to Andrew Drewsta for getting that link in our in one of our big group chats. So hopefully some of the boys can tune in, maybe call in, talk about some of your hot takes. 518-476-1045. Had to give a little shout out there because, you know, the boys support me, so I got to support the boys right back. And, you know, the family, girlfriend, everybody that supports the show and supports this little journey that we're on where somehow, some way, they decided to let my silly behind hop on air and have my own weekend show. So shout out to the guys here at work, Dan Ball, MJ, everybody that's been coaching me up, getting me, getting me into my prime, if you will. Still a long ways to go, but we're getting there. As I mentioned with this last segment, that we were going to dive into a little bit of preseason NFL football. And what better way to do that than with a little bit of theme music? A little bit of NFL bed music just to kind of get ourselves in the mood as it is almost NFL season. The preseason, which can be painfully long sometimes, finally coming to an end as well. You know, it's fine. Preseason football is fine, but it's not the real thing. You know what I mean? You're not seeing the starters out there. You're not as invested in it. Fantasy football isn't going on. I hope you're not putting bets down on preseason football. At least give it a few weeks and wait to make your parlays on the real season. But alas, we are almost there. Almost time for real NFL football. As, let's see, we're going to start off week one on Thursday, September 5th with the Ravens and the Chiefs, as we will finally have some real football to watch. I mean, college football is back. There wasn't too many great games this past weekend. We'll dive into some of the big ones during our next segment, as there may have been an upset already. Week zero in college football, and we may have already seen a pretty big upset. We'll dive into that next. But I mentioned that the New York Giants and the New York Jets had a little crosstown rivalry renewed as they played in this year's preseason finale. And it wasn't a very exciting game, if I'm being completely honest. 10-6 was the final in favor of the New York Jets in what was really just a bit of a snooze fest, if you will. Not much explosive offense. The New York Giants failed to get in the end zone. The New York Jets got one touchdown on the game with a big run from Israel Abanikanda. 45-yard touchdown run in the first half. And the Jets' defense was really the big story of this game, as they got 8 sacks against Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets, the New York Giants' third-string quarterback. He was a big story last season. Everybody loved him. Now he's fighting, you know, currently the third string QB behind Daniel Jones and Drew Locke. But still, always a good name to see pop up, just because you never know what you're going to get when Tommy Cutlets is in the news. This time it wasn't very good for him. As I mentioned, he got sacked 8 times. Had to be on the run quite a bit, as he did gain 48 yards, running the ball 5 times. But as I mentioned, it was this New York Jets D-line who got the job done, with 2.5 sacks from Tack McKinley, 2 sacks from undrafted rookie Braden McGregor. And those aren't even your starters. The only potential Jets starters that were playing were the defensive ends, Michael Clemens and Will McDonald, who were really just backups who got extended playing time because of this whole Hassan Reddick's, you know, scenario debacle, if you will.
tough news for the New York Jets as Hassan Reddick still holding out, seeking a new contract. And the vibe that I get from a lot of Jet fans is, you know, he's not a luxury. They need this guy if they want to be competitive in this NFL season. You're already getting Aaron Rodgers back healthy. We'll see how long he's healthy for, because let's not forget, this is a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. You didn't mishear me. He is a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. I don't know how long he's even going to be able to play. Don't get me wrong, I would love to see a healthy Aaron Rodgers the entire season and see some real drama in this AFC East division between them and the Bills with Josh Allen, the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa. I think that that has the potential to be one of the best divisions as far as storylines go in the NFL. But I got to be honest with you, I just do not see Aaron Rodgers staying healthy all season long. I mean, I guess if you're the Jets, you know that he's not your quarterback of the future. You know, you're in a win now mode. That's why you went out and got him, because you thought that he would be able to elevate you to a level where you could win now and actually compete with the rest of the league. And sure, he probably still has the talent to do that. But we're not going to see the same Aaron Rodgers that won back-to-back MVP awards with the Green Bay Packers or led them to a Super Bowl. You'll be lucky if you get Aaron Rodgers just for the whole season. What version of Aaron Rodgers that'll be, we're yet to see. But either way, they have a better QB situation going on than the New York Giants, as Daniel Jones did not look great in the preseason. But there is some hope for Giant fans out there, as they have started to beef up the offensive line a little bit. But we'll see how well they can really protect him. I mean, Andrew Thomas is a great tackle. He'll be a huge help if he can stay healthy, but last year you saw he got hurt. You do get rid of Evan Neal, or at least you bench Evan Neal, which helps because, I mean, he was, you know, blocking his own teammates last year. There needs to be a study on his fall off, because he was a good player in college. I mean, they drafted him, what, 7th overall in 2022? Who knows what happened to him? But, hey, maybe a little bit of growing pains, maybe some time on the bench will help him figure things out. Either way, the Giants have potential. They have a great wide receiver room. Malik Nabers looked like an absolute stud all throughout the preseason and in training camp and joint practices. He's going to give defensive backs nightmares this upcoming season. It's just a matter of, can Daniel Jones get him the ball? Devin Singletary, who they just brought in, is also going to help, simply because, sure, you lose Saquon, but at least you have someone with experience in that backfield that you can lean on just a little bit. He's nowhere near the talent that Saquon Barkley is, but at least he's going to give you some sort of security blanket for Daniel Jones. And you can't forget all the other receivers in this receiver room: Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton. Jalin Hyatt is a guy that I think has insane potential, because he's got speed that nobody can match outside of maybe Tyreek Hill and, you know, Xavier Worthy. He's got lightning in his feet. But again, it's a matter of, can Daniel Jones get him the ball, and can this offensive line protect him long enough to give him good opportunities to make plays? The defense is going to be good again. Outside of the secondary, secondary is looking a little thin, but the defensive front is where they're going to make their name. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, they're going to give opposing quarterbacks nightmares, just like Malik Nabers will do with opposing defensive backs. So if they can really carry this defense, they'll make the jobs easier on the secondary. And if the defense starts to really turn things up, it's going to make Daniel Jones's life 10 times easier, because we know that Daniel Jones is not, he's not that guy. You know, that's the only way you can put it. He hasn't shown, aside from one great season in 2022, one good playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings. Outside of that, he hasn't shown anything. We're going on year 6 for Daniel Jones, and he's still, you see, he makes the same mistakes that rookies will make. So at what point do you start wondering, is this just Daniel Jones's inability to learn how to improve at the NFL level? Has he reached his max potential already? Or have the Giants failed to give him a real chance to show what he can do. We will have to see as the New York Giants, they will open up the season against the Minnesota Vikings, who are starting Sam Darnold at quarterback. So I think the Giants have a chance to be above 500 this season. They have a very good chance of going 1-0 if they're able to beat the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, September 8th at 1 p.m. The New York Jets, they're going to open up the season. Let's see, they will be facing the San Francisco 49ers for Monday Night Football on September 9th. So not as good of a chance to start the season 1-0. I mean, it's so tough to read this New York Jets team. Because you look at last year, and they were still able to get a good amount of wins. For the better half of a few weeks, they were a playoff contender, even, you know, just barely scraping by. They had some good wins. But with Aaron Rodgers out there, yes, this team is very different. I'm curious. That's really all I can say on this Jets team. I have no expectations. I'm just curious to see what version of Aaron Rodgers we get, and will he be able to stay healthy? Because he is going to make this team legit. He is going to make this team competitive. He's going to make this team a story. And maybe they don't have so many of those, you know, outside distractions as last year. Because last year, you go into the season, Aaron Rodgers is the talk of the town, Hard Knocks, all this and that going on. And maybe that started getting people's heads. Granted, you knew the season was over once Aaron Rodgers went down, but now you can at least just go out there and play football. There's other big stories around the league. Not all the attention is on you. Not everyone's saying, oh, are the Jets back? We will have to wait and see. But alas, NFL football finally coming back soon. Thursday, September 5th, the opening game on NBC and Peacock of the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now that is going to be a game you will not want to miss. Maybe a potential glimpse at what the AFC Championship is going to look like down the road come January and February. All right, when we come back, we will get to your hottest headlines of the week, just like we always do right here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio, the free 104.5 The Team app. Stay with us. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFreds Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of The Hot Seat.
It's The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on a Sunday morning, every Sunday from 11 until 12 on 104.5 The Team, ESPN in Albany, and that free 104.5 The Team app, which if you don't have it already, I strongly recommend downloading. Stay up to date with whenever shows are hopping on, read the articles from your hosts here, and just stay up to date with everything coming out of the station. You know, it can't hurt. It's free. It doesn't take up too much storage on your phone. Don't worry. I know you won't have to delete any photos or any games or anything to download it. And it's, again, free. How do you be free? There's nothing better than free. All right, let's get into the hottest headlines of the week, which I mentioned we always do right here around 11:30. You know what that sound means. It is time for your hottest headlines. And starting off, I said it might already be upset season, as there was indeed an upset. Week zero of the college football playoff season. And it was Georgia Tech, unranked, stuns number 10 Florida State on a late field goal. It was quite a tight one. You know, it was back and forth the whole entire game. And then Aiden Beer made a 44-yarder as time expired for Georgia Tech to get the first upset of the season against number 10 Florida State. 24-21 was the final in what was not only the first upset of the season, but really the first major college football game of this season. You know, there were other teams playing on Saturday, or yesterday, I should say, but this was the one that everybody was watching. And if you're a Florida State fan, don't lose hope, okay? With this 12-team playoff expansion, it's not over. Losing one game does not mean your season's over anymore. But I also wouldn't have too much hope, because this is a Florida State team that just looked like they were running like a chicken that just lost its head. You know, they just looked like they didn't know what they were doing out there. Jamal Haynes for Georgia Tech ran for 75 yards and two touchdowns. Haynes King threw for 146, ran for 54, as the Yellow Jackets pretty much controlled the whole game with 190 rushing yards throughout the entirety of it. And this Florida State team, coming off an undefeated regular season, which had a pretty rough ending, you know, losing their starting quarterback and, you know, not making the playoffs, then getting pounced on by the Georgia Bulldogs and the Orange Bowl. I think what, 63-3 was the final in that game. Now you got to start this season off with a pretty tough loss against an unranked Georgia State team. And I mean, it's not going to get any easier for these Florida State Seminoles. If you look at, you know, their schedule throughout the season, it only gets harder as they have to face teams like Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, my Florida Gators to end the regular season. So we'll see if Florida State can bounce back. They don't play too much outside of those that I just listed. Only three ranked opponents right now. That can obviously change throughout the season, but right now, only three ranked opponents in Clemson, Miami, and Notre Dame. So we'll see. It's not over for the Seminoles, but it's not looking good. Moving on here, Babe Ruth, name that many people haven't heard in a while, his called shot Yankees jersey from the 1932 World Series, in which he pointed out to center field, called his shot, slammed in a home run, has sold for $24.12 million in an auction, setting an auction record for most expensive sports collectible in history. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. The previous record was for a rare mint condition 1952 Mickey Mantle card, which sold for $12 million. This practically doubles that. This is absolutely ridiculous. But hey, it's Babe Ruth. This is history right here. And you know, if you look at the jersey online, the picture, the thing looks dirty. And granted, yeah, I'm sure you're not going to wash a Babe Ruth jersey that from 1932. You don't want to wash that greatness off of it. But that jersey has to stink a little bit, don't you think? I'm sure it's in a frame, so you'll never notice. But I mean, come on, that jersey can't smell very good. But anyways, congratulations, I guess, to whoever won that auction. I hope you have, you know, the $24 million ready to go, because that is a lot of freaking money, man. That is insanity. But it's Babe Ruth. It's history. It's got to be worth it, especially if you're a serious, serious collector. You know, if you're not bidding on this auction just to, you know, go willy-nilly and maybe you win. You're bidding on this because you're hoping to either make money on it in the future, selling it for a higher price, or because you have that kind of disposable income that you can just throw around and make yourself probably the greatest man cave of all time. Speaking of baseball news, Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani enters the 40-40 club, 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases on a season, with a walk-off grand slam against the Tampa Bay Rays just this past week. He had just stolen his 40th base earlier on in the game, then had his walk-off grand slam in the ninth to reach 40 home runs, as he becomes the fastest player to ever reach the milestone. And he might become one of the only to ever reach 50 stolen bases and 50 home runs in a single season, as he joins an already extensive group of players I mentioned he was the fastest to ever reach this marker, 40-40. Back in 1996, Barry Bonds did it in 158 games. 98, A-Rod did it in 153. Just last season, Ronald Acuna did it in 152. In 1988, Jose Canseco did it in 151. And the previous record holder in 2006, Alfonso Soriano, did it in 147 games. Shohei Ohtani did it in 126. 21 full games less than the previous record holder. And with still plenty of games to go, I'm not going to try and do the math in my head because that's just not going to happen. But with around, 40, 36? Hey, look at that. I did that math pretty quickly. 36 games to go if he plays in all of them for the rest of the season for the Dodgers. I think it's pretty likely that he could join that 50-50 club. And I'm not sure if anybody ever, no, nobody has ever in MLB history had 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season. So Shohei Ohtani already made history being the fastest to get to 40-40. He has a chance to really make history by becoming the only one ever to have a 50-50 season. All right, moving on here. The Washington Commanders have announced that they are moving forward with building a statue to honor their late former safety, Sean Taylor, 2 years after unveiling a memorial installation that was eventually removed after some criticism. It was in 2022 when they had retired Sean Taylor's number 21, and he's going to become the organization's first player to ever be memorialized with a statue. So good news, you know, out there. Sean Taylor, obviously one of the legends in Washington sports and football history, a very, you know, heartbreaking story when he passed away back in the day, but I'm sure they're going to do him justice and they're going to make sure that this honoring is, you know, not going to go the way of the last one. So Washington, they will honor Sean Taylor, and I don't believe they've announced when that is going to be unveiled or finished, but we'll keep on the lookout for that. We'll keep you up to date. As either way, honoring a legend, always good news. Speaking of honoring a legend, Maya Moore of the Minnesota Lynx had her jersey retired, her number 23, raised to the rafters of the Target Center in Minneapolis just last night, as the Minnesota Lynx, who haven't lost a single game since the WNBA has resumed play after that little break in the middle of the season for the Olympics, they have not lost a game, winners of, I want to say, 6 or 7 straight, as they defeated the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark by 10 points, 90-80, just yesterday, a year after Maya Moore officially retired from the WNBA. Maya Moore, obviously a legend of the sport, a legend of really just multiple things. You know, she ended up kind of switching gears, retired from basketball, went, was fighting for some social justice, got somebody out of jail who is, you know, now her boyfriend or husband. And it's really just a great story to look into, because she is obviously going to go down as a basketball legend, but she is also going to go down as a legendary person in general. And she said, you know, she didn't want the night to end, as I'm sure it was an emotional moment. She said, you know, my life is an example of what it looks like when we love a little girl. Well, there is no way we're watching that ceremony without love. So many people having a hand in my life to show me what life is about. That's what I tried to bring every day, life and joy, because I've been a recipient of life and joy. So congratulations to Maya Moore and the Minnesota Lynx in what is a very well-deserving ceremony for the WNBA legend. All right, when we come back here on the Hot Seat, we will dive into the Little League World Series. I'll let you know who's playing in the championship. And maybe a little bit of WNBA action. I'll let you know what the scores were aside from that Lynx and Fever game last night and who's playing tonight in the WNBA. Stay with us. More of the Hot Seat coming up next here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Vinny Frederick's from the hot seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you. To all the listeners out there, your support is very much appreciated. And here at the hot seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the hot seat coming up for you right after this.
It's the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. All of the lights.
Tell you what, all of the lights are currently on this Venezuelan and Texas team in the Little League World Series third place game. Tight matchup right now, as of course they just go to a commercial as I'm trying to tell you guys what is going on in the game. But it is currently 4-3 in favor of Venezuela going into the top of the sixth. Final inning here for these teams, and at 3 o'clock we will see Chinese Taipei, who hasn't won a World Series since 1998, I want to say is the year. They will take on Lake Mary, Florida at 3 p.m. on ABC in the Little League World Series Championship, as I cannot believe that it is already over. It feels like just yesterday this Little League World Series was kicking off. You had the Little League Classic between the Yankees and the Tigers in Williamsport. I mean, it's just one of, you know, the greatest events throughout the year, just because you get to give these kids an, you know, unforgettable moment, an experience that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And, you know, if you're around my age, you know, mid-20s, and you were playing the Little League World Series video games on the Wii growing up, you know that those were some of the greatest video games ever made. Those were amazing. Speaking of, I'm not sure how many of our listeners out there are keeping up with the news, but backyard baseball, or I shouldn't just say it, backyard sports in general, the video game franchise that ran our childhoods with, you know, Pablo Sanchez, Ahmed Khan, all the legends of the sport, they are officially returning. As there have been some teases out there, you know, on social media and especially on Instagram, where it was, people were starting to chatter, you know, people were like, what is going on here? Is that who I think it is? Is that the hat of the Pablo Sanchez? Yes, it is, because Backyard Sports is officially coming back to, I'm assuming, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, maybe the Nintendo Switch. Either way, it is coming back, and I cannot be more excited. This game, you know, series, if you will, absolutely ran my childhood back in the day, especially, you know, when they had some, you know, backyard kids, then they would have real MLB or NFL players in there. Oh, man, just, you know, just thinking about the amount of hours I spent on the Wii growing up playing the backyard sports games. I cannot wait for these games to come back. All right, before we call it a close here on the hot seat, we'll dive into the WNBA scores from last night. As I already mentioned earlier, the Minnesota Lynx took down the Indiana Fever on the night where Maya Moore had her number 23 retired. And the Connecticut Sun and the New York Liberty just their fifth loss of the season, as these two teams have been dominating the Eastern Conference division. New York Liberty at 25-5 on the season, Connecticut Sun at 22-7 in a race here to see who's going to get the one seed going towards the playoffs in that division. But it was a hard fought matchup, as Breonna Stewart had a double double, 15 points, 15 rebounds, not enough to take down the Connecticut Sun, who were really just scoring all over the place, as it was DeWanna Bonner who had a double double for the Sun with 10 points, 12 rebounds. All over the place, just spreading the ball around. Let's see, they had 5 double-digit scores, did the Connecticut Sun. Sabrina Ionescu for the Liberty, only 12 points, shot 2-for-12 from deep, so a bit of a down game for her. I mean, if she shoots the way she normally does, I'm sure that the New York Liberty take that victory. And I'm sure these teams will meet up again come playoff time, as they are two of the best in the WNBA. Today, coming up in just about 5 minutes, actually, on CBS at 12 noon. The Las Vegas Aces, led by Aja Wilson and Kelsey Plum, will take on the Chicago Sky with Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. And at 4 p.m., the L.A. Sparks will take on the Dallas Wings in what is not the most exciting matchup, as both teams only combine for 12 wins on the season, both with six. But either way, still some great players to watch, as Arike Ogunbowale of the Dallas Wings, obviously having a great season, averaging close to 22. Derek Ahambi of the Sparks, averaging 18 and 10. So there's still some talent to be seen in this matchup at 4 p.m. All right, that'll do it for us here on the Hot Seat. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune into the rest of the shows throughout the week. Big Board Sports 10 to 1, The Drive 3 to 7. We will be right back here next week talking all things baseball, football, maybe even a little bit of predictions as we are getting so close to the NFL season finally starting. And of course, the hottest headlines of the week, as we always bring to you every Sunday from 11 until 12 noon. So be sure to tune in next Sunday, as it will be me back again, your host for the Hot Seat, Vinny Fredericks. Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.